Today on Real Life Radio.
If a Christian's continuing in sin, the Bible teaches, Paul the Apostle said, the Lord will deal with them. He will allow Satan to destroy their body through sickness or whatever the case might be, so that their soul arrives in heaven. And that is radical.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey, Pastor Jack here. I want to give you guys a quick update on what's going on in Southern California in wake of the devastating and forever life-altering fires that have ravaged the Southland. Things have never been like this before. And I mean that where a fire has never been seen like this before, where the sky was aflame and the winds were blowing 80, 90 miles an hour. Flames and fire horizontally has devastated homes by the tens of thousands, and there's over 150,000 people without a home. And I say all that, my friends, to encourage you to consider this. Please, please consider giving to the Samaritan's Purse organization. Franklin Graham, we're working with them. We're on the grounds here in our own neighborhood, so to speak, of Los Angeles, Malibu, the Palisades, Eaton Canyon, Altadena, areas of Pasadena, and it is overwhelmingly epic. I promise you this, give what you can to SamaritansPurse.org. SamaritansPurse.org. Go there and send support to them regarding the Southern California fires. Please do not send us any of your money. Do not send it to Real Life. Do not send it to Real Radio. Please send it direct. Your contribution is a 501c3 tax deductible contribution to the right people. Samaritan's Purse, and you can go to SamaritansPurse.org. Thank you very much.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues with his series now called The Book of James and a message titled, It's Time to Come Home. You know, before the Book of James became one of the books of the New Testament, it was simply a letter that was sent to the Jews who chose to follow Jesus Christ. And as new believers, James, in his final encouragement, tells them to go, to share, and to do all things that they have learned. You see, as true believers in Christ, this world is not our home. That's the truth. So we need to be ready for Jesus to return to take us to our final place called heaven. But in the meantime, we need to share the good news of God's love and take as many as we can with us. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that if we are in distress, we need to remember that God is merciful. He will not leave us. He's not going to forget about us. Instead, he's going to come to us if we ask and restore us to our rightful place. Now, with his message called, It's Time to Come Home, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
That father threw his arms around his son, and he said, all right, my son. And he said, Father, I'm so sorry. He said, hey, come on, repentance is built in. The father takes the boy back to the house, and he says, this is my son that was what, lost? No. What did he say? Dead. This is my son that was dead. Now he's back. He was dead in the world, alienated from God, and maybe you're alienated from God. James is saying, those of us who are Christians, go find them. Go hunt them down, not with a hammer, not with the biggest Bible you can find, but what Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, with humility in your heart, restoring a brother in love, forgiving them, bringing them back, encouraging them to come back. Because when someone, maybe you this morning, or maybe some of our friends, the feeling they have right now, Satan is telling them they can't come back home, God won't have them. And that's a lie. You cannot sin greater than God's ability to forgive. The question is, will you repent? You see, he says, if anyone among you wander from the truth and someone turns him back, that someone, may it be you and I. And I want to ask you something very personal from my heart, right now to you, right now here, right now. And I hope I'm wrong.
But in the course of my Christian history, I haven't seen much of this happen. Those that are around you right now, let me just pick on somebody that I just want to pick on this morning. I'm going to pick on Jim. What if Jim wasn't in that seat next week? One of our first thoughts would be, he's busy. That would probably be my thought. He's very busy. Something must have come up. I know Jim sits there all the time. He must be busy. The second thought I'm going to have is I'm going to ask Charlene, where's Jim? The next thought I'm going to have is, well, I'll see him next week. What if he's not there in 2 weeks in a row? What are you going to do? You going to do anything? Let's put the shoe on the other foot. What if something was pulling you away? Would you want somebody to call you? Would you want somebody to reintroduce themselves to you? Listen, loud and clear. We have a ministry here called Gentle Grace. I know that sounds like a laxative, but it's a wonderful ministry. That ministry has a very interesting effect on people. It's a ministry that goes and visits people who in some way, shape, or form have connected themselves to Calvary Chapel. They either came here and somehow we got their name. Maybe they tithed once and it's in the tithing record somehow. It's in the computer. Or maybe they had a prayer request and somehow we knew it that way. Or maybe you gave us their address or somehow Gentle Grace is able to meet them. Okay? Interesting responses at the doorsteps. People open the door and they'll say, hi, we're from Calvary Chapel and we just want to know how you're doing, want to pray with you, just see how you're doing. And the funniest thing happens. People open the door with all right, come on in. Oh, it's great. Yeah, we've been going to church for 2 weeks. That's neat. You guys come and visit. Or we've been going to the church for I couldn't say 10 years. We're not that old. 7, 8 years. Oh, it's great to see you. Or we have responses like this. What are you doing here? Just kind of go on. Yeah, I used to go to church. I don't do that anymore. Well, you should see the responses. It's what James is talking about on the front porch. Or wonderful. I get the reports from that team every week. The name. We visited so-and-so. They invited us in and we encouraged them in the Word of God. They hadn't been attending church in a year. I see their name and you know what happens? Don't show your hands. I just know that in each service, this is true. By visitation and encouraging them and telling them, hey man, God didn't leave you. You might have turned around and walked out on Him, but He never left you. You know what happens? People start coming back to church. They get encouraged. If I have any authority at all by the power of the Holy Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, encourage one another. Well, you know, she used to be, last I heard, she was a stripper at this place in town. So what? What's that your business? Encourage her back. Well, last I saw him, I heard he was hooked on crack. So what? That's between him and God. Encourage them to come back. Well, the last time I saw that family, they were steeped in getting rich. Encourage them back. When we fall away, if we find ourselves in verse 19, who will call me? Who will call you? Who will knock on my door? Who's going to knock on your door? Those who have the love of God in their hearts and realize that when Jesus Christ was crucified, it hurt. And for the cause of Christ, they come to your door or they see you at the market and they say, come on back. And they might say, no, I'm not going back to that church. Well, help them get plugged into another church then, will you? Get them back to the fold. This is urgent, people, and it's something that's not practiced in the church. Well, that would take That would require of me kind of stepping out of my comfort zone and actually saying hi to them. Yeah, that's right. This might require me to be a little bold. Yeah, I know. It might cause you and I to say, God help me. There they are. I'm going to go talk to them. Verse 20 says, let him, that's the one who's turning the wayward brother around, the person that's doing it, let the one that's ministering know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, the sinner, we're all sinners, says the Bible. This word implies the one who has walked back into the sin. And listen, I got a few moments left. I'm ahead of schedule. This is miraculous. You may be here today, and your particular denomination has taught you that if you fall away from Christ, you can't come back home. They might even have told you, hey, since you're not coming here, we're excommunicating you. And you know what? You know what? Any ministry that exercises that, you got to be careful about that. Paul the Apostle didn't even do that. Paul did something more radical, but biblical. Paul said, you know what? If a brother is continuing to sin in a sin, they're living in it. They just live in it. And you've lovingly confronted them, Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. You've gone to them privately. They wouldn't turn. You've come to them again with a friend who is respectable and honorable, able to keep a secret quiet like this. Two people go to that person and say, please don't live like this anymore. They won't hear you still. Paul says, bring another. They won't hear you still. Paul says, then tell it to the church leadership and let them deal with it. If a person who's a Christian will not turn, what are you supposed to do? I wonder if the Christian knows today what we're supposed to do. If they're living in sin, Paul the Apostle commands us, Christ Jesus as well, those who live like the world who are called brethren, don't even eat dinner with them. Ostracize them. Oh, I don't know if that's going to go over big in the 90s. It's the only thing that's going to bring them back. Their loneliness, their isolation, their waywardness from the fellowship of the saints, God uses that starvation mode to bring them back home. But if you sit there and continue to stroke them in the midst of their sin, oh, I know that you are Christian and you're living in adultery. It's okay. God loves you. You need to give them the truth, will you? The Bible says that God loves them, but it says he's angry with the wicked every day. But the bumper sticker says, smile, Jesus loves you. Well, if the bumper sticker was accurate, it'd say, smile, Jesus loves you, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Why? So the wicked would get right with God. The Christian who is wayward, Paul says, plead with them. Beg them back. If they won't turn, Paul says, don't even eat with them anymore.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Churches have adopted this thing, or certain churches, this thing of excommunication, which implies you are nixed from heaven itself. Paul the Apostle says, oh no. Paul says if a person continues in sin, he says this in Corinthians, if a brother continues to sin, shut the door on them. Have them stay in the world then. Paul says Satan will destroy their physical body and kill them. But God will take their soul to heaven. If a Christian's continuing in sin, the Bible teaches, Paul the Apostle said, the Lord will deal with them. He will allow Satan to destroy their body through sickness or whatever the case might be so that their soul arrives in heaven. And that is radical. But that's radical love. It's hard for us to even comprehend such a thing. He says in verse 20, the sinner, he's converted back. He's not saved again. He gets back on path. He does what Jesus said. He returns to his what? First love. Revelation tells us. He comes back home. Jesus said to the church, repent and do your first works. Which was that? Loving the Lord. Finally this, the person who is reaching out and bringing those back, look what is accomplished through his life. He will save a soul from death. That's not physical, it's not spiritual death, physical death, and cover a multitude of sins. This does not mean that the Christian has the power to take away someone's sins. What it is that the Christian's intervening love in this wayward Christian's life causes them to cease their sinning ways. And restoration back into the fellowship brings a renewed spirit. What did King David say, Psalm 51? Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and then I will become an evangelist. That's actually what it says. And then I shall teach sinners your way. Those who are often disobedient and in sin have no passion to tell others about the saving news of Jesus. David knew this. Lord, return back to me the joy of my salvation, and then I will tell sinners the way. We need to repent. The days are coming, and I believe they have begun. I personally, it's my personal belief, I believe that God has already begun to judge the United States of America. I believe it started a little while ago, and I think serious times are coming. And where will you be when God draws the line in the sand? Where will you be? On what side will you be caught? If you're not a Christian, you better become a Christian today. Well, don't tell me what to do. I'm begging you. If you want me to get on my knees today, I'll get on my knees. To beg you to become a Christian today. But James 5, 19 to 20, he's talking to the Christian that's been wayward. It's time to come home. You know why? The Father's going to be calling us upward pretty soon here. He's going to call us home. Are you ready? Are you ready? Close your Bibles and you think now for a moment. You can even bow your head and close your eyes and think. I want to ask you something here. You answer yourself in the quiet of your mind, of your own heart. Ask yourself, am I becoming more and more patient in the trials of life? If you're not Christian, you're backsliding. James would say, do I play with temptation or do I resist temptation? If you play with it, you're backslidden. James would ask, do you find joy in obeying the word of God, or do you merely study it to get head knowledge? Is it the joy? Is the Bible the joy? If it's not, you're backslidden. Are there any prejudices in my heart? Respecter of persons. James would say, if there is, you're backslidden. Am I able to control my tongue? If you can't, James says, you're backslidden. Am I a peacemaker rather than a troublemaker? If you're a troublemaker, James says, you're backslidden. Do people perceive me as being spiritual or carnal? If it's carnal, you're backslidden. Am I a friend of God or am I a friend of the world? James asks. Do I make plans without ceasing or consulting God's will? James says, if you don't, you're backslidden. Am I selfish with my money, possessions, and things? James says, you're backslidden. Am I unfaithful? James taught us in paying our bills and meeting our responsibilities and our commitments. If we are unfaithful, we're backslidden. Do I depend on prayer or people? If it's people, we're backslidden. And what is my attitude toward my wandering brother? Is it grace, forgiveness, and mercy, and truth? Or is it compromise, condolence, and error? If it's error, we're backslidden. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, those of you, first of all, who do not know Jesus personally, you have never understood that Jesus Christ, as the Bible foretold in advance, came, died on the cross for the sins of all mankind, and left an empty tomb in Jerusalem on the northeast part of town that's there to this moment. Empty. And ascended into heaven and is coming back, as he said. You have never heard the truth that you can know him personally. You can have your sins forgiven. But here's the catch. You must, as that son in the prodigal son, turn and come home. That is, you would recognize, you would say to God right now, Lord, I have sinned and I want to receive you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Right now, this morning, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, will you, who have never known Jesus personally, I'm not talking about being a member of a church, that is zero to God's mind. I'm talking about meeting Jesus personally. If you'd like to meet Christ personally this morning, can I see your hand and I'll pray for you? Just put your hand up and you want to come to Christ Jesus and receive him as the Lord and Savior of your life. Don't be shy. Just put it up and I'll ask you to put it down and I'll see your hand. God bless you in the back. You can put your hand down. And you in the very back, you can put your hand down. Listen, don't worry about what people are thinking. They will not be with you on the day when you stand before God. The Bible tells us we will be alone. And having received Christ truly and honestly, as the Scriptures tell us, will allow us entrance into the kingdom. Without Christ, it's hell. By your choosing this morning, what is it that you'll choose? No matter what husband or wife, friend or family, foe, whatever, whoever thinks, whatever, doesn't matter. You want Jesus. If that's you and you have not yet put your hand up right now and I'll see your hand. You can put it back down. And God sees your hand going up. He sees your decision. Those of you who put your hands up, those of us who are Christians, those who are not, please do not pray this prayer. Only those who have accepted Christ this morning and those who are already Christians. Let's pray out loud together. If you mean it from your heart, God will respond. Dear Lord, come into my heart. I ask you to save me from my sins. Fill me with your righteousness. And make me your child. Lord, today, I repent of my sin. Give you my life. I receive you this moment as the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called It's Time to Come Home. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of James. It's a series on true Christianity and how it creates a whole new way of living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So as you heard from our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to know what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life personally, we would love to help you out with that. Go to jackhibbs.com/knowgod. That's K-N-O-W, God. And there you'll be guided through what a commitment to Christ can mean in your life and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. Don't miss out. That's the Know God tab at jackhibbs.com.
The cross. For a lot of us, it's just a symbol that we wear around our necks, right? Display in our homes or maybe hang from the rearview mirror. But what if instead of being a decoration or accessory, the cross motivated and shaped the way we live every single day of our lives? What if it wasn't about hiding or minimizing our sin, but actually crucifying it in order to move forward in the freedom that Christ offers. Born Crucified, it's a book by Ellie Maxwell. In this book, you'll discover what it truly means to live in a cross-centered life. This short but very powerful book is a classic for every Christian's library. It reminds us that the cross isn't just a symbol. It's the key to victory over sin and the power to serve God effectively. Now, if you're ready to experience the freedom and purpose found in a life centered on the cross, this book is one that you should get, Born Crucified. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.